It's about 10, it's about 11. So it's 11 minutes after 12. So I'll share for a little while with us from the scriptures just to encourage us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you have not only allowed us to come into your presence to worship you, to lift up your name, but Lord, you have done more than we could ever have thought this morning, Lord. You have touched our lives. You have lifted our burdens. Lord, we have experienced your peace. Lord, there's something, some transactions that took place, oh God, spiritually that we have partaken of this morning. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, God, for Alicia and the ways in which you have been working in her life. Lord, a life transformed, a life set free, a life delivered, oh God. A life that is still, oh God, on the journey to fulfilling her destiny. Lord, we thank you that you are this type of God to us. And Lord, we pray you might continue to speak to us this morning, continue to minister to us this morning, continue to glorify the name of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, and amen. So I'm going to try to start a new series. This is just going to be basically an introduction then. And I want to talk about the church. It's been several years since I spoke on what is the church, or the church itself. And we are church. We're having church this morning. The things that I would want to highlight, you have actually been practicing this morning. And so that to me is speaks a lot more than perhaps what I have here to share. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. And I'm just going to read three verses there. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death, that is the death of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women, put them in prison. The idea here is for us to understand what is a church. The Greek word used is ekklesia. It's basically the prefix ek means out. Klesia comes from the word kaleho, which really means to call. And so the church really are those who have been called out, the called out ones. So you all know this, that the church is not the building, the walls, the doors. The church is not the building. And this past year helped people to realize that, because this past year where people couldn't gather together, it's not as if, well, they didn't have church, because you could still meet. Some joined via online. The church is the people, those who are saved, those who are sanctified, those who are God's people. And so that's important for us to always remember. It's not the building. And, you know, unfortunately, over time, you know, people have come to equate the building with God's church, but it's not the building. Saul wasn't destroying the building. In fact, the early church didn't have any building. The early church met in the temple, which was where the Jews would meet, and they met from house to house. And that's why the church could scatter, because it's a people. And when you start to get that into your spirit, you think and function differently. You view the building as a facility to enable the church to gather and to meet. But it's not the church. So praise God, it's not that physical building. It's really an assembly. That's another way of translating the word. So it's one thing to be called out, but it's another thing to come together. Because, you know, you can go to the park, and we are called to the park, and you'll be scattered all over the park. That's not it. It's called out to assemble. So the word many times is translated assembly, as another way of talking about the church of the Lord. It's an assembly. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 32. The word ecclesia was a common word, a word used in the time of Christ. Christ didn't make up a word, didn't coin a term. That word was already there in the Greek language, being used by people. And so I just want to show us here in Acts 19, verse 32, it says the assembly was in confusion. That's ecclesia. People were responding to Paul, and as a consequence, there was a disturbance, and they all gathered together. Some people were losing their business, and it was an uproar. And all of these people came out, and they had a problem with Paul. And so it talks about this assembly, that were caught in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people didn't even know why they were there. That's the ecclesia, the general way of using the term. The people gathered, they came out from their homes and gathered, but they didn't know why. Some of them, they just gathered together. And according to the city clerk, there in Acts 19, let me see, verse 35, it says, the city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven?" So the city clerk, a man of authority, quieted the assembly and said, "Listen, something, you're concerned about some stuff, but there needs to be a proper assembly." That's what he's basically going to go on to say to them. Verse 39. "If there's anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly." So what the city clerk was saying, you guys have gathered, but you weren't gathered under the right context. You see? So your assembly really is an illegal assembly. Because the word assembly really means the people who have come out to settle the public affairs of the state. It's not just gathering. They come together and they're usually called together by somebody in authority. Because now they're going to do some business and they're going to bring some things into order for their state. So that's the background behind the word ecclesia. That when Christ says, "I'm going to build my church," he's calling forth some people. He is authority. He's the one who have called us together. And he says in Matthew chapter 18, "If two or three shall gather together in my name, under my authority, then some stuff is going to happen." You see, if you understand what I'm saying? So we need to realize that the word is not just a nice sounding to be gathered. No, we are gathering under the authority of Christ. He has an agenda, and that's why most Sundays I try to discern what is God's agenda for us. We have some general things we want to do, but we're saying, "Lord, this is your church." That's what he said to Peter. "I will build my church." And if it's his church and his authority, then we are the ones who need to step back and allow him to flow, allow him to touch the lives, allow his will and his purposes to be accomplished each time we gather. And so that makes a world of a difference, because you see, you can gather. As Christians, you can gather, but if we don't gather in the name of Christ, under the authority of Christ, fulfill the agenda of Christ, what you're doing is your own little stuff. And the scripture tells us about churches like that in the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea. Christ says, "I'm at the door knocking. And if somebody opened the door, I'd come in and fellowship with them. But as far as you're concerned, you're doing your own stuff and I'm not involved in it." And to me, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for the people of God to meet and for Christ to be on the outside looking in. Hey, can I come in? Why? Because we have our own stuff we want to do. We're going to sing our songs, our hymns. We're going to read two lessons. We're going to do our stuff. And nothing can change this. Every week, you know what's going to happen and what time it's going to happen, because this is our stuff. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ gathers under his authority so that his will can be accomplished. And when he is in charge, then life is flown, life flows from him, and change takes place in our lives. And he ends up being glorified because the church is his. And so it's important for us to grasp that. Oh Lord, help us. So let's read Matthew chapter 16, two more scriptures, and then we'll see what happens. Matthew chapter 16. I learned years ago never to say finally. So you, if you've been here for a while, you realize I don't normally say finally. Because I don't know when it's the final thing. But Matthew chapter 16, you know, Peter had just responded to a question from Christ. Who do men say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter says, and Jesus says here in Matthew 16 verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock of revelation of who Christ is, I will build my church. In other words, you have all sort of ecclesias out there, all sort of assembling out there. And Christ is saying, listen, I'm going to build my church, my assembly, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. In other words, this assembly is going to gather together to accomplish my purposes, and no one, no demon, nothing in the hell can stop my purposes from being accomplished. Which suggests, and we, you know, this is a series, thank God, which suggests we'll see that there are going to be opponents and enemies to the church of the living God, and they will not be able to stop the purposes of God from being established. But I'm going to be in my church. And then verse 19, it says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why is he linking that to building his church? Why is he saying to Peter, I'm going to give it to you, Peter. You, upon, you know, he, Peter was one of the main leaders in the early church. I'm going to give it to you, Peter. That authority has been passed on to the church of the living God, to the church of Jesus Christ. It's very, very key. If you can get just this one little point, it will change how we view things when we come together. So the keys of the kingdom have been handed over to the church of Jesus Christ. And whatever the church, when we come together, whatever the church decides that this is God's will, whatever we shall bind on earth shall already be bound in heavens, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heavens. Things take place. Because really the term as a quote-unquote political edge to it. Decisions are being made which will now be imposed upon all around. One more scripture. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to start at verse 17. Jesus is talking about, you know, reconciliation. You see your brother sin and you want to restore him. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to us for witnesses, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So I want us to get that background. He's talking about now about the church. I tell the truth, whatever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's talking about the church. Then he says, again I tell you, if two or three on earth agree about anything you ask, for it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three, I think I read verse 19 wrong. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. What Christ is here saying, no, he's talking about the church. That the minimum number is like it's basically two. So if you have two or three, you have enough to function as a church of the living God. But you have to come together now in his name. If you follow me. You have to come together now to fulfill. The name can mean agenda. It can mean reputation. It can mean authority. If you come together under his authority to fulfill what he wants to have done, then if two of them agree, saying this is what God wants to have done, it says it shall be done. The word therefore agree is symphonio, which really means to harmonize. It's a word from which we get symphony. And so he's saying when we gather, if we can harmonize and realize this is what Jesus wants to have done in the earth, he's saying it shall be done. So things in the earth might not look like what it's supposed to be, but we're saying, Lord Jesus, what do you want to have done here on earth? We're going to agree on it. We're going to bind it so that it comes from heaven to earth. I don't think you get it. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, teach us how to pray, Jesus says, okay, Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, holy is his name, worship. Then the next thing he says is, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's teaching them how to pray. And he wants them to realize that as a church of the living God, we have a responsibility to deal with things in the heavens so that change takes place on earth. So when we gather then, we are coming here to fulfill the agenda of Jesus Christ. We are not just some ordinary people, because Christ is saying, if two or three gather, I'm going to be there. You understand? Because it's my church. Yes. Right? If you have a party, you're going to be there. That's my party, so I'm going to be there. So he said, it's my church. So if two or three of you gather under my auspices, under my authority, I'm going to be there. And if you can harmonize with me, things will take place. Change will take place on earth. You see, the title of this encouragement, read up the message, is the church is the most powerful organization on the face of the earth. The most powerful. And many times we don't realize it. You see? But that's why so many leaders all across the world, they are afraid of the church. In China, they are afraid of the church. You see? Many of our leaders understand that even last year, our president asked the church to pray when we're in the midst of this COVID-19 stuff. Our governor asked the church to pray because they realize that the church, because we're in touch with the living God, we can bring about a change on the earth. And Christ is saying, where two or three gather together, he's there in their midst. If he's there in their midst, there must be some way in which you can sense that he's there. It's not just, well, I know because Bible says so. No, he wants us to experience his presence in our midst because he's there. And that's why I've said that, you know, we have experienced it this morning because we have come together in his name to fulfill his agenda, to allow him to be Lord in the church. And as we have done that, you and I can testify that our lives have been touched and things have changed. Because it's his church. It's not my church, it's not your church, it's not the Baptist church, it's not the Methodist church. If it's their church, they can do their own stuff, it's their assembly. But if it's his church, then he must be the one who has the say. We must gather together saying, Lord, what do you want to accomplish today? Lord, we have come here to hear from you. Lord, we have come here to further what you want to have furthered in the earth. Oh, Lord. One scriptural quote, I won't read it, from 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you might show forth, you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we, the church, when we come together, part of our purpose is to declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, worship. If it's his church and he's here, worship becomes one of the primary things the church of the living God must do when we gather together. Yes. It's his church. And we are here to declare his praises so that the world will know who he is. And whatever come to understand and to experience is that when we come together like that, and as we start to worship him, then Christ indeed comes into our midst and all sort of stuff happens. You see? But if I come together and I'm just going to do my own little thing, you can have your own little thing, but it's not the church of the living God. You see? Many of you know what I'm talking about. You may have come from those type of situations. You can go week after week after week and nothing changes. Because they're not allowed Christ to be Lord in the church. In fact, they're not even come to worship him. We just want to sing our hymns and get on with it. But when it comes to worship, it's something you can't even rush worship. How many realize that? There's just got to flow with what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. If you try and say, Lord, we're going to do this in 5 minutes, you're going to just cut this thing short. And you're going to miss a whole lot that the Lord has for his people. It's his church. There's so much more, as you have in the outline there, that we don't have time to go into today. I'm going to ask Sean just to come on back. But just to give you a preview. When it says you have called out, he has called us out of something into something. Do you understand what I'm saying? He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for a particular purpose, to declare the praises of him. You understand what I'm saying? So he's not just calling you out to stand still. He's calling you out of different things. You see? He has called us out of the world to become his people so that the world might see what it is to have a God who is a covenant relationship that you're walking with God, to be his people. So there's always not just a coming out, but you're coming into something for a particular purpose. You see? So he calls us out of being unholy to become his holy people. He said, be holy as I am holy. So the world might see what holiness looks like, what our God looks like. He has called us out of being in bondage, out of slavery, into freedom. You see? And so Paul says, it's for freedom that he set us free. So that we can live the righteous life that he wants us to live. So it's part of this thing. That's why the ecclesia becomes important to realize you've been called out of something into something to reveal something else to the world. In Peter, he says, once you were not a people, in other words, you were just out there on your own, he has called us to become his people. You were once out there like orphans. No father, no mother, that's only on your own. No, he has called us to become his children so that we might become heirs of the Father. You see? So there's a lot involved in the fact that we have been called out of stuff to go into something, to reveal something else to the world. That's who we are. And as I was reflecting on this past week, I got excited to realize what God has done and is doing. In calling me out of stuff into different things. Call me out of slavery. To become free. To walk with him. To rejoice with him. As one who didn't know God, now to know God. As one who was not a part of God's family. To be part of God's household. To have this personal relationship with him. That's exciting. That's who we are. Let us stand. I hope the Lord just continue to whet your appetite and help you to see, you know, what his church is all about. Who is his church? So that when we come together, you realize this is not just some people gathering. We are now gathering legally under the name of Jesus Christ to extend his purposes in the earth. There are things happening in our society that we, the church, can impact. The writer of Proverbs says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm going to ask us to take a minute or two and to join with your neighbor and to pray for righteousness to grow and increase in our nation. To pray for a move of God that would impact our young people, that would impact our youth, that would transform them so that they know God out of their own personal encounters. You see, statistics tell us that, you know, young people are not going to church as they used to. Well, we don't want them to go to church. We want them to be a part of the church. And so I believe you and I, as we're singing this morning, we're calling them out of darkness. We're calling them to be awake. That's what the church does. We did this morning in our songs. You see, as we agree, well, let's just now do that again in twos and threes. Let's just take a moment and pray for our young people, that God will get a hold of them. Those are in the colleges. Those are in our schools. That maybe a move of God to draw them into the kingdom of Almighty God. That righteousness would increase in our nation. And that sin, as a consequence, would decrease. So let's take a moment with your neighbor in twos and threes. Just those two things. Let's just lift them before the Lord. Agree that these things need to happen in our nation, because we are the church. This is part of God's agenda. This is what Christ wants for his kingdom to increase in the earth. So let's just pray and believe God to bring about that change.
fill the room. Here and I know you are moving.
Come on. Let's just sing this song to the Lord as Sean's playing.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Let's declare it. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Come down. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Father, we thank you. That's your heart for us to be filled. That's our cry, O God. Fill us. Lord, your Spirit inside of us, Lord, says, we need more, we need more, we need more. And we say, yes, O Lord, we need more of you. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you have called us not just to believe you for things, but, Lord, to believe you for more of you, more of your presence to be at work in our lives, more of your presence to be at work in how we relate to you. Father, as we leave you, Lord, we pray, Spirit, might continue to teach us, continue to draw us, continue to set us free. Lord, I pray, might help us, O God, to walk and function as children of the living God. And Father, may we, as we interact with people, the things we say and the things we do, cause people to be drawn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
And amen. The Lord go with you. You are dismissed.